Okay, yeah, so my name's Sarah. I am from Kansas City, Old Paz. And kind of like, just like Carolyn was talking about, like, Old Paz is a really special church, but it's not necessarily like the church makes it special. It's like what the Lord has been able to do, like through the word of God, and just like how excited everyone is at that church about like learning the Bible and like wanting to grow and be a part of something that's bigger than just like their own life, but is what like the Lord wants to do with their lives. So that's really cool to be able to be a part of at Old Paz. So tonight I'll just be talking about Paul. And if you want to start to turn somewhere, you can go ahead and turn to Acts. I'll be in a couple of different places, but mainly in Acts. And like Kelm said, I'll be talking about like Paul's conversion, so the early part of his life, and then just that first part of his ministry. And Paul, I don't know, like, I know we're probably all at a little bit of different levels tonight, but hopefully my goal is that we can all, like, wherever you're at, I guess, is, like, to learn something from this. So I'll be talking about Paul again, and well, he's probably, if not, like, the single most important character in the New Testament outside of Jesus Christ for the church. So if not the most important, he's definitely one of the most important. And he really, like, through what the Lord did in his life, he really, like, got the ball rolling for the rest of New Testament Christianity. And our pastor talks about this, and just how if you belong to, like, a local New Testament church that's Bible-based, it all goes back to the Church of Antioch, which takes place in the book of Acts. So basically, like, every biblical-based church goes back to Paul, which is a really cool thought, like, if you think about it. But I'm going to be talking a lot tonight about, like, Paul and the things that he did, and, like, all of the things that he was able to accomplish. But I think, like, just something I want to, like, have you guys keep in mind, because I think this is really easy to get a little bit, like, mixed up. But, like, I will be talking a lot about Paul and, like, all the great things he did, which is so true. Like, he was a great guy. He did a lot of great things to the church. But I want to make sure that I'm, like, not, like, putting this across wrong. I don't want to make sure that I'm just, like, keeping it clear that my goal isn't to glorify, like, a man tonight, but glorify, like, what Christ is able to do through this man. Because, like, if it wasn't for what Christ did on the cross, what Logan talked about last time, what Caitlin talked about, the miracles, what Caleb talked about a while ago, what, like, Christ was able to do, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ dying on the cross, like, Paul, this would have meant nothing, and Paul wouldn't be able to do any of this. So again, like, my goal isn't to glorify Paul, but it's to glorify what Christ was able to do through Paul's life. So just, like, keeping that background in mind, I just want to talk a little bit historically about kind of, like, what's going on in the grand scheme of the Bible. I know Carolyn did that a little bit, which was awesome. So I'll just kind of, I'll probably, like, repeat some of the stuff she already said. But I just kind of want to talk a little bit, like, where we are in Acts and how it relates to Christ's death on the cross. Because that's kind of, like, a good, like, point to go back to, because we all are very, like, familiar with that. So we know that Logan ended, like, a month ago with the resurrection of Christ, which, like, absolutely was the most single important event in, like, all of history, because the Bible talks about, I think it's in Corinthians, that if Christ didn't resurrect, then basically, like, all that we believe is all for nothing. Like, it's pointless if Christ didn't resurrect. If he didn't defeat death, then, like, there's no point to what we believe. And so, like, from a historical standpoint, as just, like, the time of history goes, after Christ resurrects, like, historically, I know there's a few books between, like, Matthew and Acts, but basically, like, speaking, like, historically, after Christ resurrects in Matthew, we kind of jump right into the book of Acts. And I'm not going to, like, go into detail about the book of Acts, because it can kind of be, like, a tricky book with just a lot of different things going on. But I do want to talk a little bit about, like, just the, like, general context of the book of Acts, just so we know where we are and how it relates to Paul. So in Acts is, like, broken up into three different sections. And the first section is in chapter 1-7. And basically what's going on in these first seven chapters is that Israel is getting their third and final chance to accept Christ as their Messiah. So we know that, Israel is God's chosen people, and they were given three different chances to accept Christ as their Messiah. So the first chance was with the preaching of John the Baptist, and they rejected that. And then the second chance was with Christ when he was actually on the cross, and we know that they crucified him, and they rejected him. And when Christ was on the cross, he actually asked God for another chance. He said, "Lord, forgive them, like they don't know what they're doing. Can you give them another chance?" And God fulfills Jesus's request and gives them a third and final chance to accept Jesus as their Messiah. And that like third chance takes place through these seven chapters of the book of Acts, and it actually takes place in like six different messages. So each message that takes place in these chapters of Acts is basically preaching the same exact thing. It's like, you guys sinned against Jesus. Like, you guys need to like confess your sins, basically, and accept him as your Messiah. And the reason I'm going through all of this is because we find Paul show up at that very last chance, or the very last like part, I guess, of their last chance at the end of Acts. So the very first mention of him is Acts 7:58. And he's not like necessarily doing anything when he's mentioned. He's kind of just like there. So I just wanted to point it out that he's like, he's witnessing of what's happening here when Israel's making their third and final rejection of Jesus Christ, basically. And kind of, I guess the reason like why, and I'll talk about this later into like more detail, but the reason why Paul shows up when he does is because Israel made their third and final rejection. And basically the Lord is like, okay, I've given like Israel three chances. I'm gonna like temporarily put you guys aside. Like, I don't you guys aren't accepting me. I'm gonna be done with you, like, very temporarily. And I'm gonna bring in a whole new plan regarding the church, and Paul is gonna be like the main guy for the church. So that's just like a little bit of historical background, kind of like right before Paul, and then kind of right as Paul comes onto the scene. So tonight I'm just going to be talking about three different things. The first kind of thing I want to talk about is just about like Paul's life. So I'll go over like kind of before and after he got saved. Second thing I want to talk about is why God chose Paul. Like, why wasn't it John, or why wasn't it Mark, you know, and another guy? Like, why was it specifically Paul? Because there's a really cool reason as to why. And then lastly, I just want to talk about the perspective that Paul got as a result of like all the things that happened to him, all the things I'll be talking about tonight. And it's kind of like that same perspective that we should have, is the same perspective that Paul had. And so, again, kind of going back to the first thing, I want to talk about Paul and just his history kind of before he got saved and then after he got saved. So so I mentioned to you guys the first time we see Paul is in Acts 7:58. That was like a half lie, because his name at that time isn't really Paul. It's actually Saul. And there's a reason for the name change, which I'll go into in a little bit. But just like Carolyn actually already mentioned, but Paul and Saul are the same people. Just like keep that in mind. But I'll be referring to him as Saul kind of up until he gets his name changed. So his name is Saul now, but he's the same guy, just so you guys know. So after we kind of find that first mention of him, I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 9. So if you want to turn there too, I'll be reading there a little bit. So this is kind of like one of the first times we actually like find Saul like actively doing something in the Bible. And the first time we find him doing something, he's persecuting Christians. And like him persecuting Christians wasn't like a one-time thing for him. It wasn't just like a, oh, like, let's go do this, like, just because this was his job. Like, he got paid to do this. He was like hired by like the uppity ups to like go and like persecute Christians. And there's actually like three different references to this. I mean, there's a lot more, but I'm just going to mention three. So the first one is in Acts chapter 9, 1 and 2. And I will read those two verses. So chapter 9, verse 1 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem." So basically, he gets these letters from, like, the high priest saying, if you, like, find Christians, doesn't matter if they're, like, guys or girls, go take them and bring them to jail. And then pretty much the same exact thing happens in Acts chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. So I will read those, and it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So, again, pretty much in verse 3, the same exact thing as what I read in Acts 9. Paul is basically, like, on the hunt for Christians to go take them, either, like, kill them or bring them to jail. So we find him consistently persecuting the same people who believe the same things that we do if you're saved here tonight. And then just kind of, like, a cool side principle, I guess, I want to mention in Acts chapter 8. So there's, like, a common, like, principle throughout the Bible, and that principle is that basically when ever you, like, go through hard times in your life, or maybe you're, like, you know, persecuted, so whether that's, like, through just a trial you're going through, or, you know, whatever it is, that on the other side of that trial, you're always going to be stronger. And that principle is actually thrown into Acts chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. And kind of the key word that shows me this principle is the word therefore. And that's, I know that's kind of like a random word, but whenever I find the word therefore in the Bible, like, in my head, I always have to think of, like, oh, because of what he just said. So in verse 3, we read that the church is getting persecuted, and then verse 4 starts out and said, therefore. So, you know, because of verse 3, because the church is getting persecuted, it says that the Christians basically went everywhere preaching the word of God. So, like, persecution or trials is always going to make you stronger on the other side. And that's just, like, a little principle kind of just, like, thrown into Acts 8, which is kind of a cool little spot. And then one more verse I'll mention on Saul persecuting Christians is in Acts 26, verse 9. And so this is Paul talking. He's actually talking to this king, which I'm going to be in this chapter in a little bit, so I won't really, like, explain the context. But this is Paul talking, and in Acts 26, 9, he says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So basically, like, Paul's saying, like, you know, if Jesus was going this way, then I was going to go this way. Like, that's pretty much how simple it was. He's like, I didn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. So that's kind of like a summary of Paul before he got saved, which he was, you know, on one end of the spectrum over here. And we know that he ends up, like, on the other side. So you're like, okay, what happened between those two points? Well, what happened takes place in Acts chapter 9. And it's when Paul is kind of, like, we've talked about, he's on this Christian hunt and, you know, on this, like, on his way to go capture Christians and bring them to jail, he basically meets Jesus Christ, like, face to face. And I'm going to actually read verses 3 through 6 of chapter 9. And verse 3 says, and as he journeyed, so this is talking about Paul, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So again, Saul is on his way to capture Christians, and the Lord basically comes to him, and he's like, Saul, what are you doing this for? Like, why are you persecuting me? And this, like, encounter that Saul has with the Lord actually blinds him, and it says he's blinded for 3 days, and the Lord basically tells him, like, okay, first, like, stop persecuting Christians. Secondly, I'm gonna send you this guy named Ananias, and he is basically going to, like, give you your sight back, and then also just tell you what your next steps are. So that's exactly what happens, kind of, in these next few verses. Ananias comes to Saul and gives him his sight back, and then tells him kind of what he's supposed to do next, basically. Tells him what his next job is. And from this point in Acts, we really see this, like, big change in Saul. So, you know, I mentioned those three verses about Saul persecuting Christians. So at the very beginning of Acts chapter 9, he's going to collect Christians, bring them to jail. And then it's like 20 verses later in verse 20. This is still talking about Saul here, and it says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." It's like, okay, we see like this one end of Paul, like one in the spectrum over here, and then, you know, he's preaching that Christ is the Son of God. So like, something obviously happened between these two points in Saul's life, and it's that he, you know, he got saved, he met Jesus Christ, and had that personal, personal encounter with him, and that's kind of what made the first difference in Saul's life. Now we are going to talk about why Paul was chosen, and before I do that, I do want to mention just one other little point, because basically from Acts chapter 9, Saul is like consistently placed throughout the Bible, and just like different little stories about him, and my goal isn't to go through like every one of those stories, but I do want to mention one that I made reference to earlier, and it's in Acts chapter 13, and I'm going to be reading, I'll start in verse 6, and I'll read through verse 9. So Acts 13, verse 6 says, "And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymais the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him." So, like at first, this kind of looks to be just like a random little thing story thrown in there. But I think this actually might be one of my favorite things about like Saul at this point is if you look in verse 7, the name that he is basically witnessing to, the guy's name is Sergius Paulus, and this is where the Bible first kind of changes the name of Saul to Paul, and throughout the rest of the Bible doesn't call him Saul anymore. It calls him Paul, and that's because of the guy that he first won to Christ in verse 7. So the name Sergius Paulus is the name, like, why Saul's name was changed to Paul. So I think that's just kind of like a cool little thing thrown in there. And so next, I want to be talking about why Paul was chosen. So I'm going to flip over to Acts 26. So, like, we know there's so many characters in the Bible for, you know, and they're all put in there for a specific purpose and a specific reason. And, like, obviously, like, the Lord had a lot of people he could have chosen to basically kind of start all of the churches that Paul did, which I'll be going into right now, actually. But, like, it's important to understand why the Lord chose Paul and why it wasn't another Christian. And this is explained for us in Acts 26, verse 16. There's kind of, like, two main reasons listed in this verse. But before, like, jumping right into the verse, like, one of the things that we're always taught, like, at our church, and one of the things that has really helped me learn my Bible is, like, setting a context, and rather than just, like, jumping right into a verse, kind of, like, going back a little bit and seeing kind of, like, where you're at, not only in history, but, like, in that story, and that, like, helps you get a whole other meaning to the verse we're gonna look at. So, in Acts 26, just, like, again, to set a little bit of a context, basically what's happening is Paul is giving his testimony to a king, and his name is King Agrippa. And Paul does this quite a bit, like, not only in Acts, but also in, like, the churches that he writes to. And we're going to look at another mention of this, but Paul will take, like, a past event that has happened in his life and use it to show somebody, like, a principle or something that they should be learning. And that's exactly what Paul does here. So he's going to this unsaved king, and he's going through all the things that has happened in his life. So he tells this king, like, yeah, before I got saved, I persecuted Christians. I was, you know, I was a Jew. I did all of these things. He's like, I did everything, like we read in verse 9 a little bit ago. He did everything contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So he, like, did all these things, and then he kind of goes through, starting in verse 13, we kind of looked at this little this little story back in Acts 9. So he tells this king, like, yeah, and then, like, I got saved, I met the Lord. And then in verse 16 is kind of where we want to focus. And this is the reason. So there's actually, like, two main reasons of why the Lord chose Paul. So I'm going to just start reading in verse 16. And this is the Lord talking to Paul, and he says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." So he's about to go over the two reasons. And the first one is to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen. And the second one is, and of the things in the which I will appear unto me. So two reasons of why the Lord chose Paul. The first thing is because of the things that he had seen. And then the second one is because of the things which the Lord was going to show him. So I just want to talk about the first thing first, and it's, remember that first reason why the Lord chose Paul is because of the things that he had seen, and that's pretty much like a reference to his background and like his religious, or his religious background, I guess. And, Paul was religious, but like I say that word with like very little weight, because if you look at, and we talked about this too, like if you look at his lifestyle and like the things he was doing and what he represented, like when you think of like religion, you don't think of, you know, somebody like killing somebody else. That's like the opposite of what you think of. It's not, that's not like religious at all. And like Paul claimed to be religious, but he had like no true relationship with the Lord. And like having a religion without having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ means absolutely nothing. And like, there's a lot of ways to prove that, but like one way to prove that is looking at Paul's life. Like I just said, like he's persecuting Christians, he's killing them. Like that's, that may be his like religion, but it was no relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at a few verses. This is, the first one is going to be in Philippians chapter 3. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read them so you don't have to, but, so Philippians 3, this is Paul basically talking about his background before he got saved, and I'm going to start reading in verse 4 through verse 6. So Philippians 3 verse 4 says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." So like at the first time you read this, it's like a little bit confusing, but basically what Paul is doing here is he's boasting about how wrong he was. So he's saying like, okay, like I know you all think that like you trust in yourself and you trust in your flesh and you trust in like your old nature, but like I'm actually like, before I got saved, I trusted in it like a lot more than you guys did. So again, he's just boasting about how wrong he is, or how he was. And then I'll start in verse 5, and it says, "Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." So Paul's basically telling this church the like almost his credentials, his like Old Testament things that he could like basically put on his resume, I guess if you want to say it like that. So he was circumcised, he was an Israelite, he was of the tribe of Benjamin, he was a Hebrew, he was a Pharisee. So all of these things basically like put him at the like very top of his class. So he was like really up there, and he was kind of a big deal in the terms of like of the Jews, basically. Like concerning the Jews, he was a big deal. He was a Pharisee. He was circumcised. He was you know, he knew the law like forwards and backwards, up and down. He knew it all. Yeah, we see again like with his life that didn't mean a whole lot because of the actions that he was producing, basically. And then another verse kind of going over the similar thing is in Galatians chapter 1. And then it's two verses in verse 13 and 14. And so verse 13 says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers." So, basically, just a similar thing. You know, he was really high up. He knew all the Jewish religion. He knew the things that he was supposed to do. He knew basically how to make himself like appear righteous and trust in his own works rather than trusting on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so again, that's a little bit of Paul's background. He was religious. He persecuted Christians. He knew the law, so he knew all those Old Testament things, and that's the first reason of why the Lord wanted to choose him is because, you know, he knew that other side. He knew the Old Testament, and the Lord was going to take the things that he knew and use him also for the New Testament. And so that's kind of the second reason. And I'm going to turn over to Romans chapter 16. So again, this is the second reason of why the Lord chose Paul. And it's in kind of going back to Acts 26, the second reason that the Lord tells him is because of the things which he is going to appear unto him. So Romans chapter 16, I'm going to read verse 25. So it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret before the world began. So the mystery that's being talked about in this verse is a reference to the church, and basically it's saying that the church was kept a secret until Paul was ready and the Lord was ready to use Paul in revealing the church to the people that were going to be in the church, basically. So I'm going to be turning to another verse in Corinthians. So it's going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to be reading... I'll kind of start reading and then I'll go back and explain kind of what's going on here. But I'll start reading in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 12. So it says, and again, this is Paul talking. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. So starting in verse 2, Paul is going to kind of like switch his tenses, I think is what it's called. He's going to talk in third person now. Yeah. Okay, so this is Paul talking about himself, and he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up to paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet... Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmity. So, again, Paul was kind of talking about himself here when he says, I knew a man in Christ. That's a reference to himself. And he is kind of just like, we talked about back in Acts 26 about how there's a lot of different places in the Bible where Paul will take, you know, he's talking, but he actually like goes back and refers to a previous event in his life to prove a point. And that's what he did back in Acts 26 with King Agrippa, and then that's what he's also doing here. So he's talking about, you know, he's writing to this church of Corinth, but he's referring back to an earlier event in his life. And this event actually takes place in Acts chapter 14, and it's specifically in verse 19. And basically what Paul is talking about here is when the Lord took him up to heaven and showed him basically what the Lord's plan was, not only just for the church in general, but also how Paul was going to be like personally involved in the Lord's plan for the church. So that's what he tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:4. He says he was caught up to paradise, so he's caught up to heaven. And, you know, he was basically revealed the Lord's plan for the church. And again, back in Acts 14 is kind of where this happens. And kind of, I guess, basically like what happens in the story of Acts chapter 14, just to like summarize it instead of reading it, Paul is kind of preaching that Jesus Christ was the Lord, kind of like we talked about, to people who didn't believe. They didn't want to believe. And instead of kind of accepting what Paul was saying, they take him out of the city and like throw rocks at him and they leave him there. And they all kind of like left. They're like, all right, we killed Paul. Like, we finally got rid of him. Like, we didn't want to hear what he had to say anyway. And Paul wasn't actually dead, but this is kind of when the Lord took him up to heaven and showed him what the Lord had for him and the plan that he had for him specifically, like in terms of what he wanted to do for the church. And so that's, again, what Paul is referring here to in 2 Corinthians 12. And so because of this event, because of what the Lord did in his life, like, Paul had this whole new perspective on life. Like, he was, like, literally taken up to heaven and shown not only heaven, but also, like, this future plan that the Lord had for the church, which is, like, so amazing to think about. And just, like, not only to think about that, but the perspective that probably changed from Paul's life because of that. And that's kind of, like, the last thing I want to talk about, is this new perspective that not only Paul had, but also the new perspective that we should have, you know, first, like, after we get saved, but also we, you know, after we realize, like, what the Bible actually is and what it should mean in our life. Because I know, like, in my life, it was one thing for me to get saved. Like, I got saved at a very young age, but I didn't realize until a little bit later, like, oh, like, this Bible actually applies to my life. Like, wow, I can use it to do things in my life, and to show me, you know, what's right and what's wrong and the decisions that I should make. And that's kind of where our perspective should change. And there's just two verses I want to go to. The first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so this is Paul talking, and he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So this is, like, a really simple verse. And, like, one of the things I love about the Bible is that it's, like, it can seem confusing, but it's not, because the Bible says in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 14:33, that God is not the author of confusion. And so, like, although, it, like, it's a big book and it seems confusing, like, this is just so simple. Like, Paul says here, like, basically his goal in his perspective that he had going forward is that he didn't want to know anything if he didn't know Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I think, like, you know, what happened in Paul's life is, you know, before he got saved, he was caught up in, like, we talked about, the Old Testament religion. He was a Pharisee. He was, you know, again, he had, like, a lot of, on his resume, he had a lot of things that he could boast about himself, but he didn't know Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I know, like, for us, it's really easy to get caught up in just the things of this life, the things down here. So whether it's, like, maybe it's your first year in college, maybe you're, like, really involved in this sport, maybe you're, like, really busy with your job, whatever it is, it's so easy to get caught up in those things that, like, yes, they're good things, but, like, in eternity and at the judgment seat of Christ, they're not going to mean a whole lot if we didn't, you know, first of all, like, get to know Christ better every single day of our lives, and secondly, like, tell others about what he's done in our life personally. And that's just the perspective that Paul was able to share, and, like, the perspective that we should have kind of going forward. And then just one other verse in Philippians 3, Paul, again, goes over this new perspective that he had. And I feel like this verse, or these two verses, I guess, in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14 are the ones I'm going to talk about. But these kind of seem like good verses to just, like, summarize Paul's life, I guess you could say, and kind of the things that he went through, like, before he got saved and after he got saved. So Philippians 3, 13 and 14 say, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So, the first thing kind of he talks about in verse 13 is forgetting the things which are behind him. So, you know, we talked about in Paul's own life, he had to forget all of his, you know, Old Testament credentials. He had to forget all those things that the Old Testament religion held so high and just remember what Christ had done for him. And it's, like, again, the same thing in our life, where the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, once we get saved, that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and so that all the things that we have done are passed away, and we're just supposed to focus on what's new and what the Lord has for our lives. And that's where he goes on to say in verse 14 that we're supposed to press towards this mark that the Lord has for us. And the Bible tells us in Philippians 1:6 that the day that we get saved, that God begins a good work on our life. So, like, not only does the Lord have a plan for you, like, in the church that you're in, but, like, he specifically has, like, a plan and something he wants to do with your life. And, like, every single day of our lives, like, a good check for yourself is to, like, ask yourself, you know, like, do I know Jesus Christ better? Do I love him better? Do I, like, want to know him better today than I wanted him wanted to know him yesterday. And that's kind of this mark that Paul is talking about in Philippians 3:14. Like, okay, like the Lord has a plan, you know, for all of our lives here if we're saved individually. And, you know, each day we're supposed to forget the things that maybe we did before we got saved, and just keep pressing towards the mark that the Lord has and the plan that the Lord has for your life. So that's all I have.
We're going to light up the pumpkins, and then we have to have everybody judge them. So we'll get them prepped. Mingle amongst yourselves. We got more snacks. Welcome to hang out. Yes.